here you have a lot of people in different situations.
Right. Well, in this case, what we've tried to do is to approach what the pages within the notebook look like so that they look a little different probably than a traditional mm-hmm. notebook. In this case, we've set up this page to represent a person in the life of the person with aphasia. So this person has a son, who's Justin, and we have put together a series of pictures about the son that represent favorite activities or recent activities that are of importance. So instead of just listing, you know, I have a son who's 10 years old and his name is Justin, we've put together kind of a collage of information about him so that more conversation can occur with a partner. So the partner might look at the picture and say, oh, that looks like a big dog that you have there.
Okay.
And so that more transfer and more
right.
information and social interaction can occur than would occur with just, I have a son, his name's Justin, right. he's 10 years old, and the listener is sitting there going, oh, well, does he play sports? Does he?
Right, right.
They have to kind of guess. In this way, you can see that Justin plays basketball, and he must like to swim,
right.
and he goes fishing, and so you already, the listener already right. has a lot of information to kind of communicate with the person with aphasia.
Right. A couple of things that strike me here. One is that you're beginning to go heavily into personal context, mm-hmm. and this can be used in traditional therapy, it can be used in a communication book, it can be used in an electronic device. So that's one thing that I've noticed here. And the other is that it really guides the listener. And you always talk to me about that, okay? Be sure that you include content on these pages so that the listener is helped out. Do you want to talk a little bit more about how a page like this or some other page might be used to help the listener?
Well, one of the things that happens in a traditional communication book setup is that it seems like the clinicians create a book that's very centered on the person with mm-hmm. aphasia. And doesn't always take into consideration how would a person who had never seen anything like this before use this to actually communicate. And so we try to put in place very natural kinds of pictures that would get a person, a listener, to look at this information and ask a really natural question. Mm-hmm. So we try to pick pictures that are action-based, if
right.
we can, rather than like portraits where, what are you going to say about a portrait other than who's that, who's that, who's
right.
that? In this case, if we look at these pictures, the first picture we have Justin driving the jet ski with someone else behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an action kind of picture where we're going to get probably more questions. Well, you know, wow, he's driving, he's awfully young,
right.
where were you, that kind of thing,
right.
rather than if we just had Justin standing there, we
right.
wouldn't have as many things to talk about. And so we're trying to also play upon very natural interactions that the listener
right.
would have, that the listener would look and naturally ask.
One of the other things that I'm, it keeps you as a listener from going off into a territory to which the person with aphasia can't respond. So it keeps them from talking about snowmobiling or
mm-hmm.
soccer or those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
which they might just inadvertently go into if they don't know what else to talk about. That's when we see a lot of difficulty happening in interactions with aphasia, I think, is when the person who's the listener doesn't know what to do. They know they're carrying an additional burden to this conversation. And so what they do is they just slip something out to see if it works. Did you go to the movie last night? Or did you see, I saw Cinderella Man this weekend. You know, so this person into that conversation, and they have no ability to really talk about it. And this kind of keeps you in a topic. Okay, anything else about this that you'd like to talk about before we close out? There's a lot of content there.
Well, just expanding on what you were saying, for example, when you brought up soccer, it made me think about the idea that in this case, the listener naturally probably wouldn't launch into that because they're not searching for something to say. They're able to say, oh, he plays basketball.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more chance that the person with aphasia is going to be able to respond to some of those questions because this is an action shot, so there's a chance to talk about a lot of different things that are going on in the picture.
I think the other thing about it is it lets traditional aphasia therapy focus on content that's important to the person,
mm-hmm.
rather than content that happens to be in the therapy materials And it's personalized.
Yeah. Once you've gathered these types of pictures or photographs, they can be used to do very traditional kinds of things, picture descriptions or naming or any of those things that would be come very naturally to an aphasia therapist. And instead of pulling out picture cards that are randomly, you know, put together for everyone, this makes it much more personalized and probably increases the chance that you'll generalize something that's going to be functional.
I think it's such a different approach than doing traditional aphasia therapy, and then if that isn't going too well, then suddenly saying, okay, now we're going to do augmentative communication. And it's as though they're two different activities. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is come closer and closer to kind of making them an integrated activity.
Right. Okay. And it's kind of a nice way to think of it as you're developing, integrating together a backup system.
Right.
So if the person,
if
the person ends up saying it, great. If the person doesn't end up saying it, they have another way to communicate it. And so you've kind of got this idea of, you know, you have their back there.
Now, accepting AEC for a person with aphasia or for their family is not often easy. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's kind of a recognition, the way we're doing it now, that says this person isn't going to be an independent talker again. And I really don't want to give up on that. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we're trying to say here is that by doing what you just said, we're not saying they'll never talk again. We can say to them, we'd be delighted if they could say this. They never need to use the book or the device if they can verbally say it. Or can we use the book or the device to get them a ways into it and then let their natural speech take over to the extent that it can? And it removes from a person with aphasia or from their family, I think, that as if it's a dichotomous kind of choice.